Psychomantium.
Psychomantium.
Tell me about that. Give me a definition.
Well, basically, it has its roots in scrying, which scrying is gazing into reflective surfaces, crystal balls, that type of thing, and seeing images. Well, it originated in Rome by the oracles of Delphi, which they would set up a reflective surface. It wasn't a crystal ball, but it was a reflective surface, and they would tell people to come and sit and gaze into that, and that they would have encounters with deceased relatives. So that's where it began. Now, fast forward, 10 years ago, I was in Greece with Raymond Moody, and we were lecturing, and he started telling me about this. And I found it fascinating, and I didn't really think I would do anything about it, but little did I know he planted a seed. So about 5 years ago, I kept thinking that's something, because his book was coming out, which is, I think, Visitations. And I kept thinking, I wonder if that would be a really good research project for my paranormal group. It was one of the first research sure. projects. So we decided to construct this psychomantium per the specifications that Raymond laid out in his book and other specifications that we found throughout the web. Thank God for the web. You don't have to go to the Britannica anymore.
So true.
So it does have certain parameters. It has a mirror. It has to be a certain height above the ground. It has to have the walls have to be a flat, black, non-reflective surface, preferably velvet curtain of some sort like that. It has to have a very comfortable chair that is situated about 3 feet from the mirror, and the chair has to be adjusted so that when you lay back in the chair, you cannot see yourself in the mirror. It also has to have a single dim light source that you place behind the chair. And we have all of that. And so what we did is we added to that where we have temperature sensing equipment inside probes where we can measure the various temperature changes, if any, and throughout the entire psychomantium. It's a small booth. It's not very big, about the size of a nice rectangular elevator. We also have night vision cameras that we can watch the person sitting in the chair, and we can also look into the mirror to see if we have any images. Outside of the psychomantium is a control booth that has a computer system that controls all the cameras, and you can monitor and record anything that's going on inside the booth and outside in the control area. Because what we found is when paranormal activity begins, it's not limited to just inside the walls of the psychomantium. It bleeds over. So one of the things that happened while we were constructing this, and we first hooked up the cameras. Now, I'm sitting at the computer control station, and I had one of my investigators was inside the psychomantium constructing it still, hanging curtains, rods, painting the walls black, and putting flat black carpet in and things like that. Now I'm looking at the monitor and there's something moving around inside the psychomantium that's transparent. The first thing I thought was that it was the reflection off of his watch crystal. I thought that's what it was.
Sure.
And it happened several times, and then the one time I saw it was three-dimensional, hovering straight toward the camera and disappearing. And I said to him, "Could you come out here for a second?" And he came out, and I examined his arm. He didn't have a watch on, which I thought was interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And while we both sat there looking at the video camera, we both saw some things, not very big, about the size of a Mr. Potato Head, moving around inside the psychomantium. Fascinating, okay? I didn't know what that was. That was the beginning. Little did I know that was just a small aspect of what was to come. Another thing we did is we have an EEG machine where we hook up the participant to EEG where we can monitor brain waves.
Okay.
And so we can tell when their eyes are open, when they're getting data from their optic nerve, and we can tell when they're at a high level of meditative level, and we can tell when they're dreaming and sleeping. We can monitor all of that from the outside.
Now, Eva, let's set up a technique so people at home, whenever they want, can gaze into a mirror. Set the stage here. What are they supposed to do?
Okay, first, like I said, you can't see yourself in the mirror. You have to be below the mirror. The room has to be very, very dark, and you can't have anything glowing on the walls or something that you can see in the mirror.
So
that would be a very
no light in this room at all?
No light. Oh, except for one light behind you, behind a chair of some sort. But you don't.
But you don't see that in the mirror, do you?
No, you won't see that because you're below the mirror.
All right.
I knew, and you're below. So when you look in the mirror, you can't have anything reflective because you will see that in the mirror, and it will draw your eye to it.
How can you look in the mirror if you're below it? I mean,
you're still looking up into it.
All right. So you got to be
on a slight angle.
You have to be close to it.
Yeah.
Now.
Plus, the mirror is tilted from the bottom out inward toward you about maybe 10 to 15 degrees. So that creates the angle where it's not at you directly.
But you can't see yourself.
No, you cannot see yourself.
All right.
And there's a reason for that. You don't want to see anything in the mirror that you can focus on, at least of all yourself. You don't want to see anything on the wall behind you, on the walls on the side of you, that because your eye will be drawn to that. And what happens is when you sit in this chair and you're looking into this mirror, it all of a sudden the walls disappear. You feel as if you're out in the middle of this vast black void.
Just floating in the universe somewhere. Okay.
And then what happens is the mirror ceases to be like a two-dimensional or flat surface and appears to have an extreme depth to it.
How long does it take before this starts to happen?
About a good 15 minutes.
Okay.
I recommend no less than 30 minutes in the psychomantium, preferably an hour.
No music, nothing.
No music, but that's another experiment. But generally, in the beginning, no sounds whatsoever. You want to even wear earplugs to block out
your
ears.
Are you trying to conjure up a spirit? What are you trying to do?
What you're trying to do, you're not conjuring anything, is what you're doing is you're inducing an altered state and meeting the phenomena halfway. Our five senses block out a lot of paranormal occurrences that are around us every day.
Then what's the purpose of the mirror? What is that supposed to do?
Well, that allows your mind to look beyond just a flat wall. Normally, because if you would focus in on the wall and that would be the reality of the room. But the mirror causes an illusion where you start looking beyond that. And when you look beyond that, that causes you to start kind of drifting into a slight altered state.
So you're saying if you go to search psychomantium,
mm-hmm.
You'll come up with techniques on how to do all this too, so in case people have missed this tonight?
Definitely. Okay. There's so much information out there. There are several people who have built one, but there doesn't seem to be a lot of them that are in existence. There's three in California that I know of. There may be a few others here and there, but there's only, not very many people have built one. I suggest anybody do this. Now, one of the things I want to say is there's nothing to be afraid of. No one has been injured. In fact, it's just the opposite. People have had closure with relatives that they didn't expect to see.
So you don't have a spirit that's going to reach through the mirror and pull you in? Or
no. In the beginning, what would happen is people would see cloudy-like images forming. Then clients would see relatives that they hadn't thought about. They were thinking about their mother, but their grandmother or their uncle came. Someone, and this would happen to be someone that they had unfinished business with. They and also, while they're staring into this, now they start hearing an audible sound, voices, them talking to them. And it slowly led up to actual two-way communication.
I got to tell you, it's kind of spooky to stare and you see this thing come up in a mirror.
Well,
don't you think?
George, remember when as a kid how we used to do the Bloody Mary thing? Remember when you stand in the mirror and you go, Bloody Mary, Bloody Mary. That was traces of this actual phenomenon. We as kids just made a game out of it. But that really was traces of what had happened back in 400 AD or earlier with the oracles of Delphi.
So they've been doing this for a long time.
A long, long time. So, it's been, because it's been so long and people, it has gone underground or the people's knowledge has been forgotten, people, the kids and things like that still had rumors and superstitions about the mirror.